listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
It is Straight Out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox, RJ Bell will be with us here. And ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, we roll out the red carpet in your ears for the voice of Vegas himself. And that man is RJ Bell.
And it's Steve Fezzik sitting in for RJ Bell. RJ will be with us shortly. And it's all about the Vegas lead, Jonas. And I think it's got to be multiple possible NBA proposals to start the season, right?
Yeah, and that was the report that came out earlier today, according to Shams Charania of The Athletic. The NBA working on a medical safety protocols, and that current projections have in-market training camps in July, then camps and scrimmages in Orlando, and then the hope, Steve Fezzik, is to resume play in late July, early August.
I got to tell you, Jonas, am I the only one that's surprised by how long it's taking in terms of startup dates? I thought that it was very viable. We would see the NBA by, say, July 8th or 9th, hearing the end of July. Am I the only one surprised by this?
Well, I think the big concern is people testing positive for coronavirus, which is obviously a concern. And I think there's a mental block for some people who want to make sure that there's no positive tests. And I know, RJ, we've talked about it before. There's a lot of risks in anything in life. And so the NBA proceeding with this much caution, while I understand it, we have to also be realistic that somebody is going to test positive most likely when play resumes.
I think so. And I think you, Jonas, to be candid, have been really well spoken on, because I kind of approach this with the way a wise guy thinks, which is you can win, you can lose, you can go to hell maybe. Who knows? There's all kind of things that could happen.
Right.
I'm not sure. I don't think Vegas and hell necessarily go together, but you know, Fez, you slept in a stairwell once, I remember, when you were a vice president at a big actuary firm, and you slept in a stairwell, right? So Vegas can be a bad thing, and it can be a wonderful thing. But I think coming from you, and I'll be candid, Jonas, I think one of the things that you really bring to this show, and one of them, no doubt, is that deep, deep fans knowledge, where the tight end that's the backup for the Chargers, Fezzik's not thinking like that. I'm not. I'm thinking about the way the money's moving. I'm thinking about big bets. You're a fan, and that is a great asset to the Straight Out of Vegas, because it is in contrast to the pros. But also, you're not a hot take guy. And if anything, I'm like, should we ask Jonas this question, or is he going to give us a, well, you know, kind of. But when you come strong, and I'd ask you to repeat it, is, you're a person who cares about your life. You're youngish, but you're not a kid. Is when you think about the day-to-day risk in this era, in this age of COVID-19 and beyond, the way you think about it, I think, is as plain spoken and realistic as I think anyone, share it again if you would.
Yeah, I just think that at some point we have to understand that there's risks with everything. And I think everybody deep down knows that in life. But that the idea that nobody's going to test positive in a big group of people, and the fact that that's going to be the deterrent for wanting to put on an entire season that could affect livelihoods for so many people involved, I just don't think is the approach to take. I think you proceed with caution, but you don't proceed with fear. And so my guess would be, yes, players are going to test positive. We saw a UFC event, 24 fighters were on the card, one of the fighters tested positive, and so did two of his corner men. So guess what? That was one out of 24. Multiply that by however many people you see at an NBA scrimmage or however many teams are going to be invited to this NBA camp in Orlando. There's going to be positive tests. But as the UFC showed a couple of weeks ago, and this was their first foray into this sort of a environment trying to set this thing up, you can proceed after somebody tests positive and everything's going to be okay. And I think that's where NBA and I think fans and media need to start wrapping their arms around.
That's Jonas Knox. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Fezzik, amazingly picking the Vegas lead today. I didn't like that. I can't lie, but technical problems and I'll take the blame for that. But Fez, to me, the thing that Jonas said, I did not undersell it. It was wonderful, or I did not oversell it. But I disagree with one thing he's saying, which is, and it's a distinction, I think. And Fez, I'd like to get your thought. We can get Jonas's. We're not sure everything's going to be okay. And that's okay. Meaning that people die of the flu. And I get it, that it's politically charged to say, oh, this is a extreme flu. So let's not even say that. People die from pools in your backyard. They die from, and this sounds crazy, but coconuts falling from trees. I think there's like 30 people a year in this country that die from falling coconuts. So should we ban coconuts? It's got to be risk reward. And I think that part of risk is it could go all the way negative. Is I would make the case the following, and I would almost say this is undebatable, that somebody will die, if not dozens, if not hundreds of people in this country in the next 12 months because we have sports. That if the two choices were there's not going to be a single sporting event for the next 12 months, or there's going to be what naturally comes, which looks like all the sports, it looks like to some degree, there will be dozens, if not hundreds of extra people that die. Athletes, maybe not, probably not, I don't know, but certainly fans that engage or fans that might go to, even if they don't have fans in the stands, is they go to the bar because they wouldn't have gone to the bar, or they go to a house party that they wouldn't have gone to. So it's almost like if there's something that is exciting enough, entertaining enough, matters enough to leave your house, it is going to cause more COVID-19 exposure. And eventually, just mathematically, if it's 1%, if it's 0.1%, whatever the numbers end up being when we really understand this thing, more people will die. And it's a weird thing. It's a uncomfortable thing to say that people will die for sports. But you know what? People die for sports anyway, driving to the event. All the, you know, people fall from balconies. I mean, if you leave your house, the risks go up. If we make the bar, everyone's going to be okay. Well, you know, the bar that some people are saying is no extra cases. Well, that's crazy. That's not going to happen, right? So any extra engagement with the world increases the chance of getting COVID-19. Okay. Now, if the bar is no extra deaths, I think that might be, in fact, is too high of a bar. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be an athlete we can directly correlate it to, but Jonas, Fez, whoever wants to jump in, just mathematically, more people out and about, this opening up of the economy, whatever stage you're in and whatever state you're in, is causing. Why was the economy closed to start with? Why was the country, quote unquote, locked down, quarantined? It was saying less exposure means less death. Well, what does it mean when you say more exposure? It means more death. And it's uncomfortable to say, but we got to tell the truth here because there's money at stake. And maybe there's not money at stake for me in this, but I'm just in the habit of telling the truth. Fez, what do you think?
Yeah, I think you make great points, RJ. Obviously, there's that situation where there's an altercation in Dodger Stadium parking lot and a Giants fan dies or someone falls off a balcony. But that's the tip of the iceberg, like you mentioned. You look at the drunk driving, you look at conflicts in bars and the like. There's an inherent greater risk whenever you leave your home. That doesn't mean you shouldn't leave your home.
When Fezzik's in a sports book, he gets crowded by seven or eight people. So, Jonas, really what I think a lot of listeners are saying right now, we're straight out of Vegas, is RJ just said, Jonas said that sports and death, are it's a fine trade-off for you as long as you keep this job.
Yeah, oh, yeah, 100%. It's always better to sum things up like that because nothing gets lost in translation on Twitter. That's always the best avenue to take.
But to be honest, what I say is off-putting. You're saying the same thing, but you're doing it so diplomatically, which I think is so useful sometimes. But really, you agree with me, right? I mean, because how do you make the case otherwise?
I have no idea whether or not anybody's going to die in the NBA because they restarted.
Well, no, in the NBA, but I'm saying because of the NBA playing, there will be a lot more engagement of people, you know, in whatever way. It might be a trainer. It might be someone who gets it from an asymptomatic person who's involved with you. There's no way to even know.
Right.
But what we know is the odds go up.
No, 100%.
So if everyone's in their house, the odds go down. In every degree we move back towards normalis or normalcy is additional risk. And here's the beauty of it. We all get to decide how much risk. I mean, Fezzik is still at the, and again, I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm still trying to keep social distance too. I think we all would agree. And let me ask you, Jonas, because again, you're the guy on the ground, and the more normal guy amongst us, and you're a big time radio guy, but we're weirdos from Vegas in a way, especially with the way we bet and think. Is how much have you noticed with your core group, the group that you'd be comfortable to go to dinner with and it wouldn't feel like a big deal? Hey, I'm going to dinner with Fred or whatever. How much of a decrease in your strictness of social distancing has there been in the last, let's say, 2 weeks?
Oh, big time. Yeah, and I would say, Whitney, even before that, I think that people understood the risks. They understood that we've, you know, all been very careful about it. And we just, you take the right precautions. We're not in these giant groups, but I've seen people, I've stood my distance and kept my social distance and all that. But if something popped up and it was like, hey, we're thinking about going to get dinner, I'm more likely to be willing to join them now than I would have been 3-4 weeks ago, for sure.
Now, I love the candor. I would say almost every, if not every authority would say that's exactly the wrong way to be. And I think that's the mistake that was made. And it's easy in hindsight to say it, you know, for me to say it's a mistake. But each part of the country probably had 6, 7, 8 weeks at the most where they could have been really diligent as human beings. And then it gets hard. And to me, to start all parts of the country at the same time meant places like New York that started early and then they're on the downtrend, that they would have reached their time and it made sense perhaps to start to loosen things up a little bit. A lot of places, middle America, the places that don't have a lot of international flights, think about the way this thing, or even just a lot of flights in general, because once it gets into New York and San Francisco, it is going to then spread from there, is the idea that North Dakota or, you know, just pick your flyover type state had the same time frame at the beginning. Now is the time it seems like some of those states would need it more. Now, California, I think, was at the forefront. So your timing probably was, hey, you reached your limit and here we are. You're taking additional risks. But think about in places where it was a couple weeks behind LA or New York. And now all of a sudden they're getting sick of it. And it's the time they might need it the most. I think to me, that's the scary part. It would have been hard to split the country up into, you know, 16 different sections or whatever and saying, all right, you guys are going. But I think logically, and Fez, you have a mind of an actuary. Doesn't that make more sense?
Yeah, absolutely. There should be different rules because let's face it,
not different rules, different timing of the time that you're really locked down.
Yes, because by all that I've read, like New York, the number of cases has gone down like by fourfold. Whereas you mentioned it in middle of America, a lot of these states are just peaking right now, RJ.
And Vegas was in the same, you know, I was watching because what I told people I cared about was, and locally on local radio, it was like, in my opinion, again, not a doctor, but if you look at it, Vegas was 10 days, it seemed, or so behind New York. So if you're going to be loose at any point, be loose early. Don't be loose a little bit later. And again, I do think we got to accept it's human nature. And this has been said a bunch. We're social creatures. And I, you know, some people less than others, but like to see no one but your inner family, you know, whoever you're living with, let's say, and let's be candid too. Fez. You know what we should do when we come back? So we'll take our break, and we're going to do two things. One, because Fez picked topic number one, I'm going to let him pick topic number two. But also, Jonas, no kids. I don't have any kids. I'm married. No kids, though. Fez has a kid. Every parent I know, except Fez, has admitted that at this point, the kid's driving him crazy. Fez has a love for his boy Johnny that is up there. They should write a book about it. Will he admit he's finally sick of his kid?
That's coming up next. But first, Straight Outta Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Outta Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fans. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will find out whether or not quarantine has gotten the best of Steve Fezzik.
And Steve Fezzik is actually taking the side. It's billionaires versus millionaires when it comes to baseball. Fez has a side. In your mind, silently, guess which side it is. All right. I actually think it might surprise you. It's a great day to join us. This is the fastest growing show on Fox Sports Radio. Audience has more than doubled in the last year, and you're part of the reason. Even more than Fez, I think, probably the same as Jonas. Right now, though, you can listen every day, but part of the one of the options, iHeartRadio. They have an app, the iHeartRadio app. Check it out. Right now in Las Vegas, yeah, we could talk about the weather. I will. I want to talk about the neon, Fez. We've got an announcement. The neon, we know when it's – at least the theory – or at least the projection is we know when the neon's coming on and we know where.
Thursday, June 4th, RJ, we've got confirmed openings of the following hotels, Venetian, Bellagio, along with New York, New York, the Wynn and the Encore, Caesar's Palace and the Flamingo.
Okay, so on one hand, a lot of properties. On the other hand, it's 8 days from now. Now, I totally get that if there's any place where social distancing is tough, and if you don't gamble a ton, and you know, half our audience, half the listeners don't, and we're so proud of that. They just want to know, as we often say, if you're a sports bettor, you listen for the money. If you're a sports fan and not a bettor, you listen to no more than your buddies. But think about handling the chips, handling the cards. I can say as a poker player, not a professional, but a guy who plays pretty seriously amateur in an amateur sense. And you know, if you can say my big win ever was 7,000, we could call that amateurish or not. If you think so, maybe we should play. But what I'll say, and if I don't know your name, I'm probably okay. What I'll say is this, Fez, is when we play cards, I know you play cards too, even if you go 3 or 4 hours, and some sessions go, and you know, if you've seen rounders, it's like a 30-hour set. Listen, I mean, Fez, what's your longest poker session?
12 hours.
Oh, you're a piker. I've had some good 18-hour sessions. And I mean, if it's good game, what do you do, right? It's
one insane. More orbit, RJ. Just
yeah,
one more orbit.
And then you lose, and now you were up, and now you're almost break even. You don't want to go home off the loss, and you lose another. Oh, nightmare. But even if it's every 3-4 hours, if you go wash your hands, I mean, it's like you were working in the yard. I mean, it just comes off like soot. Because you're touching the chips and the cards and the felt, right or wrong.
Correct. And poker's going to be a real problem coming back as the new guidelines call for a maximum of 4 players at a poker table. RJ, every poker game I've ever played in, when we get back down to 5, the game breaks. I can't
see
poker.
Well, it shouldn't break. It should be reduced rake at that point. You break it when it gets short like that?
All the tourists
leave. I'm sorry, Jonas, you were jumping in?
No. Fez is complaining because there's not enough people at the table to win money from.
But really, that's not what he's complaining. If we had time, this is the kind of stuff we do on podcasts. But he's what you call a short stack specialist. Now, what is that? That's an a-hole that shows up at a limit that is higher than he wants to play, right? So for me, I would play 5'10 normally, you know, not as an a-hole. So let's say, Fez, you would short stack in a brick-and-mortar casino, so not online. At what limit?
Yeah, 5'10", I'll buy in for 200, sure.
All right, so first off, you couldn't buy – wherever you're buying in for 200 there, it's a crazy place. At the Bellagio, you're buying in for 400 minimum, but it's still only 40 big blinds. Right, so Fezzik will sit there and he'll make sure to pass till he won't post till he's in. We've never discussed this. He won't post till the button's past him. True or false?
True.
All right. So now that's another way where you're making, because when you sit down, it's making everyone wait three hands without him playing, but he's fine with that. It doesn't bother him at all. Right. He's probably up, probably getting on the transfer list at that point in case he doesn't like this game. He wants to transfer to another table. Correct or not, Fez?
Yes, and if I double up, RJ, I leave immediately rat hole style.
Well, I really appreciate that you ended up finishing my story for me.
Uh-oh.
I mean, you just have no sense to tell a story, do you? Do you really think I did it? You know what I'm going to do? I am going to show good cheer because this guy showed up a couple extra days this week. I'm just going to say the audience is paying the price. They missed such a great payoff, the way it would have paid off. It's almost like, let's think of a joke that has a punchline that we all know, and just imagine that you're building up to it, and then just some guy comes and goes, oh, yeah, Jack and Jill went up the hill with a buck and a quarter. It's like, why? What? I'm not going to be mad. I want you to explain. Did you think I didn't? Like, the main point here was that you do what you just explained. Do you think I wasn't telling the story because of that?
My bad. Stepped on the punchline.
So anyway, to kill the punchline, what Fez will do is, because he has a short stack, he's in a position to push or fold. So effectively, you can't really play against it. Is he'll decide when to push, when to fold. It's an amount of money that makes it so if you got a really premium hand, you can go in and you probably got him. But he's not only pushing with premium hands, and that's, there's no implied odds. It's a very difficult way to play. It's almost all luck, except he gets to judiciously choose when to push. Now, you might say, well, why doesn't everyone do that? Well, one, there wouldn't be a game. And number two, most people aren't thinking about every edge because it's only 5'10". So he's only pushing, apparently, in his game, $200. So your ROI on that might be what? $40? He's doing this to pay for his buffet on the way to the buffet. So I even somehow redeemed your crazy way, man. You stepped on it. But anyway, Neon's off till Thursday. Fez steps on jokes. Go ahead, Jones.
So, RJ, speaking of Fez, though, I mean, you had a hell of a tease before we went to break, and the thought of Fez quarantine actually getting the best of Steve Fezzik and his relationship with a special someone.
And listen, I got to be candid here. Little Fez, Johnny as he's called, is one of my favorite kids. I mean, brilliant. You might think, obviously, Fez is brilliant. His kid's probably a little smart. No, like all the dads say, the kid's smarter than me. It's like, you know, most of the time it's not true because I hang around with smart people. But it might be true in this case. And he has a wonderful disposition, too. He's not like a bratty. You know, all kids have some brattiness in them. Less than normal, especially for a kid who's so entitled. Talk about silver spoons. I mean, think about the next generation, right? But he, wonderful kid. All that said, and again, how many square feet your house, Fez? 7,000?
6,000.
6,000. So I guess there's a lot of space, right? But I know this. Our producer, we call him Hollywood Matt because he, you know, former movie guy. I think he can jump in here. Let's just see what a normal person. Now, here's the thing about Hollywood Matt. Hollywood Matt literally went to UCLA for undergrad. Okay, that's good. Then he went to Columbia to get his master's. So he's an Ivy League master's kind of guy. So he's not normal, but he's more normal than Fezzik. He's got a couple of kids. Let's hear from him, I hope, about how he's feeling at this point.
My kids need activities outside the house.
In fact, you asked for a day off Friday, and again, you've taken only a couple days in 6 months. What was the rationale?
it's going to be 107 in Las Vegas, and my kids haven't been outside of our neighborhood in weeks and weeks and weeks.
And you can hear he's beaten down. Now, you might think part of this is working for me, and that's true. But it's not just that. And in a way, I think, Matt, you're underselling it. When we're talking, just give me a flavor of just a little 10 seconds of truth of how it's been with the kids at home.
Tantrums every 15 minutes from the four and 5 year old. The 12 year old is locked in his room, self-imprisoned, I think, to avoid
All right.
us.
Now, how old is Johnny, Steve Fezzik?
He's 9 years old.
Okay, so right in that zone. How's it going?
Johnny is loving quarantine.
Okay, that's interesting. You're defraying the question. I'm saying, how's it going for you?
It is going great. It is not unusual, RJ. At like 6 o'clock, my son and I would grab some golf clubs. We sneak out onto the course and we just play two or three holes right before dusk for free. We both grab an 8-iron and a putter. We come back, jump in the pool.
I mean, listen, if there's any story that really just epitomizes, I didn't know that was going to be the story. If there's any story that epitomizes Fezzik, he has 6,000 square feet on a golf course, but he somehow, now let's be clear, you don't have membership at this course, correct?
Oh, no, public course.
But do you live on it or how far away from it are you?
Wait, I can walk around the block and get into the number 7 hole.
And at that point, you're not thinking, hey, I'm stealing. This is like Napster style with golf. You're just thinking, hey, better me have the money in my pocket than them.
Hey, there's people out walking their dogs right now. There's no marshals around. It's like martial law on the golf course, if you ask me.
Now, do you ever wonder how it would affect your brand if you were literally arrested for this? Trespassing? Your boy has to go to juvie. I mean, imagine that. And then all of a sudden it's like, because what happens, Jonas, in the pick selling industry is you got a lot of people who act like they're Fezzik, right? They rent a car. They act like it's their car. I mean, this guy, you know, this is all true. Go ahead.
It's the most unrelatable story to a listener that's ever been told on the show. In the middle of a pandemic, he plays golf and then goes swimming afterwards. Nobody can relate to that.
You know, I know they clip up the show and they'll have like, if you missed it on Straight Out of Vegas, here is Steve Fezzik. I recommend that heartedly. In fact, we need to cut this up. Hollywood, before you leave on vacation for a day, clip this up. But you know what's funny? It's true. He's been trained to tell the truth, but then the question is, he won't say, like a normal guy that loved his boy more than anything would say, you know something? Greatest thing in my life, Johnny, but in the same house for 2 months, there's moments. Like, he won't even say that. So why not, Faz?
There are no moments at all. There are moments between mom and dad, but Johnny and I are playing Battleship or Gin Rummy, or even he's coaching me playing live poker.
And you know, Jonas, as I throw back to you, this might be shrewd on his part, because you know how a lot of people love pets, for example, and there's theories in different books on marketing that if you want to be affable, if you want to be someone who people relate to, just talk about your love of your pet, and that people will just say, oh, me too, and then they feel a connection. Another thing some people do is talk about their love of coffee, because a lot of people love coffee. So finding ways to connect. Fez knows that so many people, you know, in such a righteous way, such a wonderful way, they love their kids. That hearing Fez be like maybe the dad of the year, except he's actually doing a crime with him, but maybe the dad of the year otherwise, he's figuring makes him seem somehow relatable, because he knows he can't be relatable being an everyman, because he has a mansion and a yacht. He can only be relatable this way. Listen, don't put it past him, Jonas.
It's a bold strategy. Also a bold strategy, RJ, is Major League Baseball and the owners. Details of their latest proposal to players have come out, in which some of the highest paid players in baseball would see the most cut in pay, and the lower paid players down on the rung, they would actually not see as much of a difference in their pay as some of the highest paid players. So there's been some back and forth. The Players Association is not happy with the proposal, and so here we are still trying to figure out if we're going to get an MLB year.
All right, now here's the question. Where's Fezzik going to land on this? Because he's got a strong take. On one hand, you're thinking he's going to land with the money, But now it's like, well, they both got money. Now, I'll tell you how he'll land, all right? It's going to be whoever he can relate to the most because he is very self-involved. So millionaires versus billionaires, Fez, millionaire. I'm thinking he's coming with the not the rank and file players. He doesn't care about them. He makes more than them, quite frankly. He is worried about the guys making the 5, 10, 15, 20 million a year. Fez, what's your take?
You know it, RJ. This is a derisive proposal by the owners.
It's divisive, not derisive.
It is insulting to the highest paid MLB players. All the players knew that they're going to have to take a haircut. This was decided back in March. We're only going to play half the games. All right, we're going to get half our paychecks. But now what the owners are saying, you know what? If you're a minimum salary guy, if you only were going to make $500,000, all right, you're going to make close to half of that, your original salary. You're going to take very little of a haircut here in May. But
all right, so a haircut's kind of a financial term that says what?
It says that you're going to get less than what you were going to get.
So it's like you're selling at a discount.
Exactly. But you know what? If you're a minimum pay guy, so you're going to make $563,000 in MLB, you're going to get almost half your salary, which is what you expected. You're only going to play half the games.
In a game, the way to think about it is, obviously, it's going to be hard to pay someone for work they don't do. So the agreement in March was that on a per rata basis, which is a kind of a technical way of saying, is we're going to take a fraction of the work you do and pay you that fraction. So, for example, if you somehow get paid by the month and you take off half the month without an excuse, you know, somehow you're allowed to go, but you're not working. It's not like vacation time or whatever. You would expect half your pay. That would be a fair deal. That was effectively the agreement signed in March. Then what happened was the owner said, huh, it looks like maybe we have the PR side of things. You know, maybe we can squeeze them here. And who's really, other than a guy like Fez, going to worry about the $20 million guy? So we'll say the rank and file, you get all your money. But if you're making $20 million, you're like an owner. You got to feel some pain with us. That's more pain. That's the owner's rationale. Now, why would they give them less per game? Because in theory, they're making less per game because there won't be fans. So it kind of makes sense they're asking for it. Why do you think it's unfair?
Because they're making the best players, the highest paid players, pay the bulk of this reduction in revenue.
But if anything, so you're saying if they did it to everybody, you'd relate to it. Here you're saying, because let's be honest, like at pregame.com, you're the top seller. So if I was going through saying, hey, we got to make some cuts, you're the guy that would be the $20 million pitcher.
Exactly. We
and
can't be doing this.
You don't think they should feel any pain.
Everyone should be prorated. It shouldn't be like a two-tiered, three-tiered, four-tiered system.
So what you're saying is, this is our takeaway, Jonas. If you let them talk long enough, you get it. Here's the takeaway. Is you don't care how much money someone makes. That if anyone's feeling pain, everybody better feel pain. And the fact that you make more money typically and you feel so much pleasure that others don't, that's beside the point. Steve Fezzik.
Exactly.
We'll kind of repeat what he just said.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
You know, I'm not sure if Dan's still around. If he is, can he pop in a sec? Because I was going to ask him, Dan, how you doing?
Good.
I know you're aficionado of the show, and we appreciate that a lot, actually, because you're a professional, and you do so well with your update, Mr. Dan Beyer. But here's the question. Did you hear what Fezzik said right before the break?
I not verbatim.
Okay. So. Because I'm always interested. Just feel free at any time when you do the news at the end, if you want to kind of comment on Fezzik. I just like to hear other people. Like, I feel like sometimes I'm used to it and that it's crazier than I even think. So, you know, your opinion matters to me.
Okay. All right. I'll take that into account.
So, Jonas, we haven't really talked. And, you know, just take 30 seconds. I mean, this one feels, like you said, the golf course stuff where he's sneaking on the course with his boy. But then the idea that the only reason he is mad that they're asking the rich players to take money or a bigger discount is because he's rich and he just has like a – he's like Thurston Howe from Gilligan's Island. I mean, what do you think?
He finds what's relatable to him and what impacts him the most, and that's what he focuses on. He doesn't scribble outside the lines. He stays very focused on what matters to him and what he can relate to, and he, obviously it's the highest paid players in baseball.
My wife is a great cook, but sometimes I don't like the food, and I tell her. She gets mad. I tell her, you know I'm telling the truth when I say I like it. Fezzik, you cannot wonder if he's telling the truth, because some of the stuff he says, oh, he's telling the truth. All right, when we come back, this is why he's here. It's not just for comedy. He has ESPN's rankings. It came out, big hubbaloo. And he says there's two teams ESPN and the NFL are so wrong about, it's worth betting. We'll get that next.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You the Fan. And RJ, Steve Fezzik has a major disagreement with one ESPN.
And we should say this. He obviously graduated Northwestern. Now listen, I find to be the most overrated school in the country, and it's not even close, Northwestern. And in fact, if you're from Northwestern, then you know what I'm talking about. But Fez really is, maybe, and we won't say for sure because it's a personal opinion, he is certainly amongst the best NFL handicappers in the world. And thus, NFL, now NBA, he's an originator too. That's his two main sports. NFL, only got to win the Super Contest twice. The odds of it, he did it back to back. The odds of it happening randomly was like 100,000 to 1. I mean, this guy knows his stuff. ESPN, hey, we can say we're competitive, but we try to take the information for what it's worth. We looked at their power rankings, football power index. We said, Fez, attack. Find us a weakness. He found two teams. Fez, what's the first team ESPN's wrong about?
Pittsburgh is underrated by ESPN. RJ, ESPN has your Steelers, the number 14 team. I have them number 6.
Wow. Wow. Now, would you agree Pittsburgh is one of the highest variance teams? Now, what I mean by that is that they could win the Super Bowl and they could go 5-11. And I think if you say, like, the range that I could see, let's say I could see them go 12-4, I think's high end, and I could see them go 5-11. So a 7-game range. Like, is Pittsburgh amongst the biggest ranges, you think?
I think so. The defense we know about. They were a top-5 defense last year. I expect that
to continue.
They
haven't lost anyone, right, really, that matters.
Yeah, and let's face it. That D single-handedly won 8 games for the Steelers last year. But you're right. The whole handicap, my handicap, last year quarterback play. Ugh, Rudolph. Duck Hodges. They were awful. Now, it's possible Big Ben comes back, and Big Ben ate too many buffets, and he might be bad. But
first of all, it's more than possible. Because let's be candid. How old is Big Ben? Right?
Ben
he's like
is.
39.
Yes.
Right? I think that's right. He's either 38 or 39. And he's
37. 37.
Well, he looks like he's 47. So, and let's be candid. He takes hits. I mean, last year he didn't, so to me, as a Steeler fan, and for many, many years, I watched every play. I don't watch every play like I used to, but I mean, even up to 2 years ago, I was watching every play, preseason, every play. Ben, and I complain about Ben a lot, to be honest, he's the toughest quarterback I've ever seen. He really is. And to me, he's an old 37, wouldn't you say, Fez?
Yeah, and it turns out he just had a birthday in March. He's an old 38 now, RJ.
Well, yeah. So regardless, he's in that range. When you say just had a birthday in March, you mean months ago. I mean, that's another. He won't take blame, Jonas. Jonas, when you look at Big Ben as a fan, Do you see it being a real likelihood that he's either a disaster, that he just gets old in front of our eyes, or he gets hurt again? Does that seem real to you?
Yeah, no, it seems 100% real. He's had injury concerns pop up over the past several years. He missed almost all of last season. He's taken a beating during the course of his career, but with his style of play, and he doesn't have the feet. He's not as nimble as he used to be. So I think if he doesn't get the proper protection and they're not able to surround him with safety and fail-safe plans, I think it might be a long year for Ben.
So we'll get into this, Fez, but I think what's interesting is you've kind of averaged out probably the idea as if they have a great year, if they have a bad year, and you think ESPN has them ranked too low. They're underrated. I agree with that, but we got to understand there's high variance, and I think you agree with that quickly. 10 seconds.
Yes, I do, and certainly Pittsburgh could go 7-9, but they could go 12-4, RJ.
I agree. So what I would say is this. In general, I think Pittsburgh exceeds expectations. But if you want to take a shot, maybe not the win total, maybe a Super Bowl, because I do think they have an upside bigger than most teams with their win total.
Straight out of Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone.